Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Thank you, Earl. Welcome back, Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan, kicking off the second half of our show just after noon. It is time for our Beltway Blitz. We cover the teams in town you care the most about every day. Jam them into one segment, so let's get right to it on the gridiron. JP Finley, NBC Sports Washington. JP, yesterday seemed like most of the position groups played well enough to win. The quarterback position didn't give them much of a chance to. What'd you think?
I'd say he gave him no chance. You can't have three picks, a fumble. He was awful. It was his worst start as a Washington football player, and you're never going to win if a quarterback's playing like that. What's crazy, Grant, is we almost had this really cool comeback story there for a little while. I mean, they took the lead in the fourth quarter despite, at that point, he had only thrown two interceptions. And he made a big throw on the fourth down. He made a big throw to Dontrell Inman for the go-ahead touchdown. And it seemed like, wow, this is going to be maybe a galvanizing moment for this team. And then that third pick was just awful. Can't happen. And I honestly know that a lot of folks are up in arms about the timeouts. I'm not sure Ron trusted Dwayne to go back out there and lead a comeback. And I think that's why he didn't call the timeouts. That's my take. But think about it. In Arizona, they had a similar goal line third, fourth down situation where Ron elected to kick, even though they were down three scores. In this game, Ron goes for it on fourth down, gives his guys a chance to take the lead instead of kicking. I think there was real momentum. Then he throws that next interception and then has another sack fumble. And I think you got to really ask questions if they thought the offense could come back in that scenario.
Jeff Probst-Finley, so to that point, I don't care if they come back or not. Doesn't Dwayne Haskins need the experience? I just think it's really hard to sell this new culture, sell accountability, when you're going to not play out to the final whistle yourself as the head coach. I love Ron Rivera. I just don't get this thing that he's done for a couple weeks in a row now. Even if that is his evaluation of the QB, let him go out there and get the experience. Isn't that what's the most valuable thing? What am I missing here?
I don't think you're missing anything, Danny. Like, it's a reasonable argument. It's very bizarre, and then to do it 2 weeks in a row is off-putting, to say the least. But I do think the scenarios from Arizona to Cleveland were so different. I wasn't mad about not taking the timeouts in Arizona because, frankly, the team had no chance of winning. Arizona could score when they needed to, and Washington wasn't going to win that game. Cleveland was a winnable game. They had a lead in the fourth quarter, and the quarterback just played so bad that I wonder – if it would have done more damage, they call the timeouts, put Haskins back out there, and he turns the ball over again. And I wonder if that's not what was in Ron's mind.
But if we're talking about being worried about putting your offense out there because you can't trust your quarterback enough in garbage time to go move the ball with some checkdowns, we got much bigger issues and we need to start having way bigger conversations.
Yeah, and I tell you what, Ron last night after the game on the Zooms was – you know, strident in his support of Dwayne. That's my quarterback. I'm sticking with him. No questions asked. Today, the tone was a little different. I don't know. You guys might have been on the air when he had his press conference, but Ron said, you know, there's a cutoff point, and we can't allow this to continue. And he admitted he owes it to the other players. Terry McLaurin's playing his butt off. Montez Sweat had a monster game. Those guys are giving it everything they got. And Grant, you know this. I remember during the demise of RG3 and should Kirk be on the field and what are we doing here? The locker room always knows. And those players know when a bigger conversation needs to be had or maybe we got to try something else. I don't think they're there yet. I very much think you stick with Dwayne at least a few more weeks. I think the bye week, maybe if nothing improves, there's kind of a natural halfway point there. But he's on notice, man. It's obvious.
Jean-Paul Sartre, Finley, what do we know about Chase Young's injury? What do we know about Matt Ioannidis' injuries?
Don't know much about Ioannidis, and I'm a little, I am more worried about that. The Chase Young thing seems like he'll be okay. I don't know if that means you sit him against Baltimore in a game that they're already two touchdown underdogs. Maybe you let him have a week of rest. The only thing that gives me a little bit of pause with Chase Young, and unfortunately we just don't know because they are extremely tight-lipped about injuries, but he also had the hip flexor thing in training camp that caused him to miss about a week of camp. So, I'm not a doctor, and hips and groins are different, but they sure seem like a similar part of the body. But we should either get official word on Chase by Wednesday in the injury report, or maybe we'll even get to talk to Chase. He had the tweet last night that, don't worry, it's nothing major. If I had to guess, nothing major might mean you miss a week, but we'll see.
JP, before we let you go, I want to ask you this because I feel like you've been more positive on Haskins, certainly, than I am and than a lot of people are. I'm a hater, as you know, obviously. I like to think I'm a realist who says when he does something well and says when he doesn't, but that's just me. Where are the deposits? I said this earlier. You know, people say, well, Kyler Murray threw three picks. You know, well, this guy did this. I don't have as big a problem with terrible games. I just need deposits with withdrawals. I feel like we have withdrawn. He's made 10 starts. One of them has looked like a good NFL starter. One of them. He played another half where he got hurt on the first play of the second half against a terrible team in week 16, which is like evaluating September baseball stats against bad teams, where he looked good for a half in the second to last week of the season last year. Where are my deposits? What am I missing?
So I get a one-on-one with Ron on Mondays, and I talked to him a little earlier. The videos will be out later. But I asked Ron that because Ron likes to point to Cam as kind of the barometer for how he's going to develop Dwayne. And I said, Ron, in Cam's first two NFL games back in 2011, he threw for 400 yards in each game. He had almost 900 yards passing in the first two games. Dwayne hasn't given you anything close to that. What are the positives you see? And unfortunately, I think a lot of the stuff people are pointing to is intangible stuff that doesn't stack up in the stat sheet. It's leadership and composure. At some point, that doesn't matter because you need results. It's a results business. I think he needs deposits soon, Grant. You're right. Like they don't exist. And at some point, second-year players are allowed to be good. He's allowed to perform. And I know there's an army of people on social media that want to point out the deficiencies elsewhere around him, and those are accurate. But it doesn't change that he's been playing subpar and that yesterday he was awful.
JP, thank you, buddy. Enjoy the rest of your week.
All right. Thanks, fellas.
We'll see you, buddy. Let's stay with the Washington football team, please. Our WIFT insider, Chris Russell, joins us here on the Beltway Blitz. Russell, your assessment of yesterday. Winnable game, huh, if the quarterback was better?
Yeah, hello, boys. You can't turn the ball over and have it cost you 24 points, obviously. 21 points, touchdowns on three separate three-play drives. Sure, the defense could force a field goal. They absolutely should have. But they were beat up as well from the mid-second quarter on. And, you know, ultimately they had no business winning that game. So you can't be mad that they didn't win. You can be disappointed in Dwayne. And I think that's more than fair, whether people want to call you a hater or, you know, whatever, that people are going to call Grant or you or me or whatever. The bottom line reality is if we're all injecting ourselves with truth serum, if we're all looking ourselves in the mirror, those mistakes yesterday from Dwayne were not wide receiver error, were not even necessarily because of bad protection or somebody slipped or even a superhuman play made by a cornerback or a defensive back. It was just bad reads, bad mistakes. Even the first one, which I thought was more just an overthrow, it wasn't a great read because the linebacker was right on the hip of the starting tight end, Logan Thomas. So you don't deserve to win a game like that, period.
Slashy, I love that stadium. One of my favorites that I went to. They had fans there, right? Was it just like friends and family?
Yeah.
It didn't seem like barely anybody was there. What was the deal?
Yeah, I mean, they never officially announced an attendance that I heard, Grant, but and I'm with you. I like that stadium, too, although it was a colossal disaster for the old Rooster to get into the parking lot yesterday morning.
Weird. Rooster had a rough time getting there.
I don't believe it.
Shocking. But, yeah, I mean, it looked like there was about 6,000 or 7,000 people there. You know, it wasn't really super noticeable, but the sound in the stadium, you know, through all the music and the sound system and all the graphics was normal, right? They operated in that way and normal. And there were a bunch of Washington football fans, including Chase Young's family. Antonio Gibson's mom was there. A couple other Ryan Kerrigan jersey I saw. So it wasn't like it was like, oh, all 6,000 Cleveland Browns fans. But one of the players, I can't remember who it was that we talked to yesterday, said, yeah, it did make a noticeable difference. It did change the atmosphere having fans actually in the stands again after the first two.
Russell, who was encouraging taking out of this game? Because I thought some players played well. John Allen stood out to me. Montez Sweat took a step yesterday. He was really good. But give me some people that you liked yesterday in this ballgame.
Yeah, so, I mean, I'll start on defense. I mean, on offense, obviously, Dontrell Inman with the two touchdowns, that's easy, and good news that he didn't fracture his hand. Who knows if he'll be available this week, but good news that he didn't fracture his hand. But I loved Isaiah Wright and how they used him. He doesn't get credit for it, but he broke up a fourth potential Dwayne Haskins interception. That ball was right in the breadbasket of, I think, Denzel Ward, and he completely broke it up, and that led to a touchdown drive, so we cannot forget about that. But I love the way they used him. I love Antonio Gandy-Golden on the jet sweep motion and holding on to the football when he got absolutely drilled by Carl Joseph. So those were two bright spots in that regard. Little J.D. McKissic, I still want to see more in that regard, but I didn't see enough of that. Maybe that's game situation. So that was good. And then on defense, to me, I think maybe one of the most underrated guys on this defense might be John Bostic, guys. You know, I know KPL, Kevin Pierre-Lewis, gets a lot of love. And, you know, everybody was asking Steve Russ, the linebackers coach, on Friday about, you know, KPL, and that's fine. That's great. He deserves it. But John Bostic's kind of the glue, and he makes everything work. Calls all the signals. He's out there every snap. He blows up things underneath in the passing game. He gets downhill and gets after the quarterback in this system, and I would expect a lot more of that. So that, to me, that was a guy that stood out a little bit early on, especially yesterday and so far through the first three games.
Chris, thank you very much. We appreciate it.
Thanks, guys. See ya.
See you, bud.
Couple of Ron Rivera quotes from his press conference today. Said Dwayne Haskins is still learning and growing, but at some point you're no longer a rookie. Also said that Washington football players left it all in the field. Haskins has to play better for his teammates. And he was quoted, this is J.P. Finley who just joined us, as saying there is a cutoff point. Not say when that would be, but he said it basically, and I'm paraphrasing, he doesn't just get to play like that in perpetuity until the end of the year. There is a point where he would have to make a change if Haskins' play does not improve. Grant and Danny on 106.7 The Fan. Let's put the spotlight on the defensive side of the ball next on G&D.
Haskins to the end zone, leaping up. That's a touchdown for Dontrell Inman. And Washington on the board first for the first time in the first quarter.
So many good things to be encouraged about if you're a Washington football fan of this football team. Dwayne Haskins and the timing of the route. First of all, they've been looking for another receiver to step up besides McLaurin.
That was your Drive of the Night, brought to you by your local Honda dealer. Time to get to your local Honda dealer for model year clearance pricing. See your local Honda dealer today. 8 plays, 75 yards, ended in a touchdown. 17 yards to Dontrell Inman, and most importantly, as you heard Kevin Kugler and Chris Spielman talking about on the call on Fox yesterday, it was the first touchdown in the first quarter to give Washington a lead in three games this season. Here were your 8 plays, Danny, as Haskins was in rhythm and Scott Turner was drawing up stuff that was working. Antonio Gibson off left guard for 3 yards, 2nd and 7. Antonio Gandy-Golden, end around for 22 yards, gets you to the 50 in two plays when you started at your own 25. First and 10 midfield, Haskins incomplete to Isaiah Wright. Second and 10 midfield, Haskins short left to McLaurin, big run after the catch for 21 yards. Then your first and 10 from the Browns 29, Gibson off the edge for three more yards, second and 7. Haskins passes short right to Isaiah Wright, pushed out of bounds, sets up a third and 1. McLaurin gets an end around for 3 yards. It was one of my favorite calls of the game, honestly. Really well designed. They wanted a yard. They got three pretty easily. And then on first and 10 from the 17-yard line, Haskins hit Inman, one of his better balls of the day, on an in-breaking route for the touchdown. 8 plays, 75 yards. Hopkins adds the extra point, and Washington was leading 7-0.
And I know people may wonder why you and I are both gushing about a 3-yard run, but it just – I love this. You saw Cliff Kingsbury do it last week when Arizona had a close situation where you run something elaborate. To me, it is – I automatically put you into a file. When you decide in a short yardage situation to have a pushing contest, it might work out for you. Everyone will feel very good and have the machismo, and we went a living on a living, hat on a hat. Woo! Cool. Dinosaur, enjoy the Mesozoic era. I have no interest in you. To me, that showed we understand that we can't just line up and push people around. If you're Baltimore, line up and push people around. You're not. I love that creativity. I love understanding that you need the ball in your best player's hands on a short yarded situation. Again, it was a 3-yard run to McLaurin, but to me, that was encouraging for a million reasons.
All right, let's talk defense, because we've talked so much about Haskins, the offense looking better early, and then all the turnovers. We haven't really gotten to that side of the ball. First things first, you knew the Browns were going to run the ball, and you and I said, I want to know how this front holds up against the run. And I guess in the end, they failed that test, so to speak, because they did get worn down just like Cincinnati, and because the Browns ultimately did what they wanted, Chubb and Hunt combining for 35 rushes and 154 yards. That said, in the first half, the Browns ran it 16 times for 45 yards.
Uh-huh.
You're talking about less than 4 yards per carry. I thought the Browns were doing themselves a disservice. Rather than 100%. Spreading Washington out and throwing against that secondary and not involving Beckham and Landry and Austin Hooper, they were just kind of lining up and bunching everything up, as you said, and getting 3.5 a pop. Now, they were doing a couple of things while doing it, obviously. A, they were preventing Baker Mayfield from turning the ball over. He's got the turnover gene. And B, and this is more important, they were going to wear Washington down, they thought, by the end of the game. I don't know if they would have to the extent that they were planning on if two other things didn't happen, which was the number of turnovers by the offense that kept the defense on the field so much. They lost time of possession by over 7 minutes. And the second part of that is two injuries to Chase Young and Matt Ioannidis, which proved really, really costly. But in the second half, the Browns' plan came to fruition, Danny. They ran the ball 19 times for 99 yards, 5.21 per carry, and they started to gash the Washington front.
Yeah, they went outside more. They went cutback more instead of the power stuff they were doing early on. I mean, look at some just ripping them out from these drives. 2 yards, 2 yards, 2 yards, 2 yards. You see a theme there, right? That's Washington's front holding up and doing a good job. The offense, talking about Washington's, even though they scored 20 points and had a first-half touchdown, which was miraculous. But even though that happened, it's still just not enough. This Washington offense has to hold up its end of the bargain, otherwise the defense is going to be left out to dry. You keep probing, and you find something that works, and they did, again, kind of moving it to the outside. They were able to get Hooper early a couple times. They were able to get Beckham on some key third downs. And to me, this was simply Cleveland having confidence, knowing that even though we're doing this early, these two-yard runs inside where our guys are not as good as their guys, we're going to get manhandled, and you know our running backs are going to get knocked into the dirt. We know that, and eventually this is going to work, right? That's what it looked like when you're confident. That can be dangerous. If you're playing a better team, you lose that game playing that way. But Cleveland could play that way, knowing that Washington would shoot itself in the foot and not be capable enough offensively. And they finally found some success late in the game with a 17-point fourth quarter when they were trailing, coming in 20-17 to win going away.
Yeah, the touchdown drives for the Browns, 3 plays, 28 yards, 3 plays, 24 yards, 11 plays, 75 yards, 3 plays, 35 yards. Now, if you want to fault the defense for not getting off the field and forcing a field goal, okay. But when you give a team 3 drives that start in field goal range already, which is exactly what happened after those interceptions, all three of those starting in field goal range. They could have just kicked and had 9 points like that. They turned out to get to 21. Three play drives, three times over. I don't really hold the defense accountable for that. I'm looking for bonus points there from them. I'm looking for style points. Right. Save my bacon. Turn seven into three, and they didn't do that. So that was their failure of the day, if you will. And I'm sure Jack Del Rio will coach them up on that, and he'll be hard on them for that reason. But there was one drive that was a real debacle defensively, and that was the 11-play, 75-yard drive that started the fourth quarter. And we were just talking about when you referenced them losing the lead. The three-play drive to Bryant. The 3-yard touchdown pass that you were just referencing to Bryant.
Right.
That was the only drive where I watched the defense and said, all right, the Browns right now are doing what they want. Washington has no answers. They had two other double-digit play drives, 13 plays, 42 yards, where you held a field goal. I'll take that, honestly, just about every single time. I know it's a lot of plays to be on the field, but when you're averaging in terms of yards per play, less than 4 yards a pop on a drive, I think as a defense I'm going to take that. You're not going to get touchdowns. You're going to take a lot of time. It's going to be a lower-scoring game. So I'll sign up for that. There was another drive where they got a field goal where they had a 10-play, 34-yard drive. The drive started at the Washington 41-yard line. This was after the Haskins fumble. It was another time where they got points on a short field. That's a really good drive, I thought, defensively, even though it was a lot of plays. So I say all that to say the Browns had the football a total of 11 times. And I think if I could touch a button and say the defense – like did a bad job and I would hit the bad job button, I would probably only hit it maybe two times in the entire game, starting with that 11 plays and 75 yards. And they almost got off the field. Mm-hmm. Two great plays by Montez Sweat in a row, third and 12, 15-yard completion to Beckham to start the drive. If you're off the field, maybe they didn't have one single long drive all day long.
And you and I always talk about this as big baseball fans. When your team goes up against a Cy Young caliber player, right, and he pitches well against you, you don't really lose sleep. He's going to pitch well against everybody, right? It's one of those things, hey, it happens. You tip your cap, they get paid to play too. Well, that's kind of the case in the NFL, not with the Cleveland Browns offense by any means. That's not a juggernaut. That's not the Chiefs or the Ravens or anything else. But league-wide, scoring is up like it's never been. Offensive TD passes are up. Plays per game are up. Passing yardage is up. Offensive TDs are nearly 3 a game from off the record of 2.5 per game per team. Everybody is scoring. Right, especially in this early season. So having a drive of 11 plays and 75 yards where you're not getting gashed for 12, 15, 20 yards a pop, that's going to happen in this league, even with really good defenses, even with defenses that are, you know, towards the top of the board. That is a normal occurrence right now in the NFL. So what are you doing relative to your opponents? What are you doing relative to the league? And to me, Washington's defense is not the issue, B, still a relative strength. When it comes to comparing them to the rest of the league. And to me, and it may just be my vision on this thing, but I think this is the offense screwing them. I think pretty much everything they've given up has been because their offense is so inept and so bad. And maybe it's just because that's where my bias is, and this is confirmation of that. But to me, this is if they could just possess the damn ball, you wouldn't see 75 yards with Nick Chubb going for 25 and Kareem Hunt going for 9 late in the fourth quarter. That's just me, though.
Was the defense good enough to win the game yesterday? Yes or no? That's the question. The short drives, three plays for a touchdown, three times over after the picks, stung. And you didn't force field goals there. Is it fair to question them for that? Or should it just be the common sense approach that we're trying to use here, which is they did their part. They didn't go far enough to do the offense's part too and make sure that their turnovers didn't result in points, but they did their part. 800-636-1067 is the number if you want to hop in on the AAA Always On Call listener lines on Grant and Danny. Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan. Seems like the tone has changed today. Ron Rivera talking to Dwayne Haskins yesterday, very much defending his quarterback and adamant about keeping him on the field, and while that didn't change today, he's going to be the starter. Some of the comments are, if you're Dwayne Haskins, unsettling, I would say. Just reading some of the tweets from the reporters who were at this morning's press conference with Rivera via Zoom. After critiquing Haskins' play, Ron Rivera said the rest of the players deserve better from their quarterback. Still supports Haskins. He won't make a switch yet, but he acknowledged the locker room wants to win now. regarding Haskins. He says there is a cutoff point for me in terms of needing to see him play better. John Keim tweeting, Rivera did say he felt Haskins stare down the target on two of the interceptions. When rewatching the plays, you can see him looking down the middle first. Says he's rushing to get the ball out sometimes when he doesn't have to. J.P. Finley, quoting Rivera, is saying on a couple of his throws that the quarterback stared down the receivers and went to his read too fast. Went on to say, according to Matthew Paris, he was asked if yesterday was regression for Haskins at times. So he confirmed that at times, yeah, he took a step back, but then chose to focus on the touchdown drive, starting faster than Haskins had. If Rivera does criticize Haskins, he usually couches it, according to Matthew Paris of the Washington Times, which I'd say is just a good technique for a coach in general.
Sure.
Nikki Javala, Washington Post, saying Rivera said he doesn't have updates on Chase Young, hurt his groin, metatarsal arm just yet. We do know that Dontrell Inman, as Chris Russell told us, got a negative X-ray back, so he did not fracture his hand or wrist, which they were worried about. So that's good news at the receiver position. I don't know that he'll be ready this week against the Baltimore Ravens, which, by the way, think about that. They're about to play Baltimore Ravens.
Good luck.
So that should go well. But Isaiah Wright and Antonio Gandy-Golden, who played a little bit more, could be in line for increased playing time if Dontrell Inman doesn't get back on the field. But that's definitely a shift in tone from Ron Rivera today, don't you think?
Oh, without a doubt. Without a doubt. I mean, remember.
Why do you think that is? Do you think he watched the film and it was worse than he thought?
Yes.
Or do you think he just decided, like, after he's sitting around last night going, I can't pretend like we're just going to do that for 16 weeks. Like, guys are not going to buy into that.
Yeah, I think it's the former. I think it's the – I think he saw and was – and had an oh, my God type reaction. I really do. I think Rivera has been the steadiest hand, right? Think about everything that he's endured. This offseason. He takes the job in January. Think about everything that has happened since. He's got to be the spokesman. He's got to be the coach. He's got to be out front. He's got to battle cancer, by the way, in his spare time, getting IVs at halftime and getting treatment in the morning. It's unbelievable what Ron Rivera's had to deal with in his first 7 months on the job, 8 months on the job, whatever it is now. It's incredible, and here we are, right? Everything he's done has basically been, we support Dwayne. We support Dwayne Haskins. Not, he didn't give him his job in March or whatever, but basically laid the groundwork that Haskins is going to have to earn it. We're going to stand by him. We support him. And that's where we are. That's different than, yeah, there's a limit. Yeah, there's a time when we're not going to do this anymore, which is what he said today. That, to me, is a major tonal shift. It tells you that this is not indefinite. We're not going to allow for nothing but this over the next several weeks. This is the NFL. Nothing is fair about it. Nothing is equitable. You better make sure you're improving, otherwise your butt will be on the bench. Because I think he's worried, as he's trying to instill this brand new culture that is his task, it's his number one job, ultimately, I think, as he sees it. And you can't do that if you're going to keep trotting someone out there that doesn't give you a chance. And it's not an easy position to be in, but here we are.
Yeah, I do wonder that in locker rooms all the time, you know, with those conversations I used to have with Shanahan when he went to John Beck because he thought, okay, we're building something and I want to develop this guy and I know he's raw, but he might have something if he can play enough. And then in the locker room, he's got players like Santana Moss coming to him saying, wait a second, you're kidding me, right? I'm at practice every day. I'm laying my butt on the line, risking injury, risking my career every time I go across the middle. And you're going to play a guy that is decidedly worse right now? So, yeah, I get what you're saying. I don't know that we're there yet. You know, I don't know how many games like yesterday it takes, but that's how you get there. When you are unequivocally the weak link in a game that otherwise the team should win. Like yesterday, I said we're going to find a lot out about the Browns, and they won by 14, so maybe, you know, you would think we found something good out about them. I like them a little bit less than I did going into the game. I couldn't believe that in the fourth quarter they were losing that game. With that quarterbacking performance against this offense, you're down 20-17 in the fourth quarter, Danny. To me, that was egregious for them. That was borderline embarrassing for them. Now, they ended
up winning.
It tells
you where we are, by the way. I know.
But seriously.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, think about that. They're down in the fourth quarter of that game with Haskins playing the way he was. That should be inexcusable. A team like the Ravens, if Haskins plays like he did this past weekend, and I don't think
30.
He will. I think it's really hard to play that bad in this league multiple times in a row. It was that kind of performance. But if you play that game against Baltimore, you're down 42-10. And I'm not doing a bit. Like, they will own you. So I don't know what that says about the Browns, but we've seen this a couple times where he comes back and has a nice drive and they kick a field goal to beat the Lions, or the Eagles game's a good example. And in the end, people will say, they won the game. He did enough. He didn't cost them. Those are almost maybe more damaging than they are good, frankly. Like, if they would have won yesterday 23-20 after the game he had, and they make one or two big plays in the fourth quarter, or they get a stop, and let's say an interception, they return to the 15-yard line or something, and they kick a game-winning field goal, I think it just changes the tone today. They're 2-1. I think it changes what we're able to say or not able to say. Those might actually be worse than they are beneficial in the long term.
So to me, I was never on this Cleveland train kind of before the season started. I just sort of felt like they would self-destruct because it's Cleveland, right? But, you know, as they were starting to move forward in this game, it looked to me like they're a lower ceiling than the other couple of teams in their division. That's almost by design, right? We're shooting for a 9-7 type thing, right? With this run the ball in the interior stuff, not trusting Baker Mayfield to make plays to three different excellent weapons, and really four if you include Kareem Hunt out of the backfield. Just seems like they're limited, and they want to be limited. They want to, you know, win the game a certain way, which to me is adorable, but it's also not 1987 anymore. So that was, I'm with you. I was underwhelmed by the Browns.
800-636-1067 if you want to hop in. I want to go back to a question I asked you at the end of last week. And one performance in four quarters should never necessarily change how we feel about a guy, big picture. But this is something I want to keep revisiting with Dwayne Haskins. I'm texting with somebody right now who I think is a smart NFL person who's pretty plugged in on stuff. And my question to them is, what is he at his peak? Let's say this works out. Let's say he turns a corner and he maxes out. What does that look like? The question I asked you is, has the great train left the station yet? Maybe the good train is still there. It's boarding. We're running down the escalator. And you could still get on the train where Dwayne Haskins is an NFL starter and he's good. By the way, there's no, at this point, I don't think confidence you can have in that. But at least that train hasn't left the station yet. On the other side of the tracks, there's a train that says great on the top. This is going to be a top 10 quarterback for years and years to come. Has that train left the station yet?
I don't think so. And to me, it's just everybody's journey, we expect it to be this linear progression, this normal thing. Now, am I confident that he's going to be great? No, I wasn't confident last year. He went to a terrible organization.
How many guys get there show this little through 10 starts?
Not many, but there aren't many great players either. There aren't that many guys that are great. So it can always be, I don't think that book is written. I don't think it's over. Do I think it's likely? Would I bet on it? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. I said it last year, by the way, even though I liked him more than a lot of people. He's going to Washington. They're terrible. They're a disaster. Guys that go to terrible places, 99% of the time, don't turn out great for some weird reason. Like, there's no correlation. Did Jimmy say weird reason, by the way? That wasn't the greatest pronunciation.
But the really good ones find a way to make it work sometimes. And that's the point. You're hoping when you draft one of these guys. If Trevor Lawrence comes here, I think they're good within a couple of years. If Joe Burrow comes here, I think they're good within a couple of years. You could say the same thing about the Bengals. You could say the same thing about the Browns or what have you. Like, there are guys that can push through that. I just think it's something we'll keep revisiting. You know, this idea of the possibility of him. Great, you've got to define, because what does great mean, right? What are the synonyms for great? You can look it up. But, like, the idea of when you draft a guy in the top 15, your hope is you get a top 10 quarterback in football for year after year after year. And my current hope for Dwayne Haskins is he gets to a point where he's, you know, he can be a starter for 16 games a season that doesn't lose you football games. Whereas the night he was drafted, I was hoping that they drafted Deshaun Watson, their Russell Wilson, I don't want to say Rodgers or Breeze or Brady or Manning because that's not fair, but, you know, their Ben Roethlisberger. And man, I feel like we're further away from that than we've been. 800-636-1067 is the number on Grant and Danny.
Again, there were a lot of guys that gave their heart, put their heart out on the field, and truthfully, they deserve better. I mean, when you look at the way, you know, Deron played and Jonathan and Montez, I mean, you know, guys like that are leaving it on the field. John Bostic, I mean, you know, guys played hard. You know, then you turn around the offense side and you look at those guys on the offensive line were battling and fighting too. And, you know, the things that the backs did and the receivers and the tight. I mean, you have to, you know, say at some point there is. And I'll cross that bridge when I get there.
You know when that bridge may be? Is there like a cut point? Like, obviously you want to
progress,
progress, but is there going to be a time where you just got to, in a sense, maybe cut bait in a way?
Yes, there is. I mean, again, and you brought up the point, and it's a very good point, is that there are guys in that locker room that are playing well enough for us to win. And again, we have to make sure everybody is playing well enough to win at that point. And there is a cutoff point for me. There is.
Scott Abraham of ABC7 asking the question about Dwayne Haskins and whether or not there is a point in time where you go in a different direction. And Ron Rivera says, yes, we'll cross that bridge when we get to it. That goes against, by the way, his whole, I'm not going to call timeouts because it's a developing year.
Yeah.
He could have easily just said, no, this is about developing. He's the most important player we got to develop, so guys are going to have to deal with that. He did not do that. 800-636-1067 is the number. Let's go to the phone. Steve is in Silver Spring on Grant and Danny. What's up, Steve? All right, let's go to line three. Tim is in College Park. Tim, you're on Grant and Danny. How are you?
Hey, Tim.
Hey, what's up, fellas? You know, I want to go ahead and answer the two questions you proposed. One is the defense doing enough? And I say yes. As you heard in little Ron Rivera's little snippet of his press conference, he pretty much mentioned the defense. You know, Deron Payne, Montez Sweat, Tim Settle, all of them were balling out, keeping us within the game to make it respectable. You know, they've had three and outs on Baker a few times to give the offense a lot of opportunity to, you know, try to convert those three and outs into points, and that just didn't really happen. So I don't really fault them if they give the offense a short field, or at least our offense gives their, you know, the Browns' offense a short field. And when it comes to Dwayne Haskins, you know, I agree. I was listening to EB this morning, and I agree with the whole idea of, like, these players' careers sometimes last 2 years. So why sit here and look at someone who literally know isn't going to win you games? And we're number one in the division right now. So, like, let's try to mix it up while our division's crappy so we can possibly have a run for the playoffs and maybe something clicks. Maybe we give the ball to Antonio Gibson 30 times a game. Maybe, you know, maybe J.D. McKissick and Terry McLaurin and Antonio Gibson all in the same field will be a good package for whatever quarterback we have dinking and dunking the ball to get us points on, you know, points on the board. I just feel like our offense will be able to move forward if we just have a competent quarterback. If Dwayne Haskins doesn't throw those four turnovers, we're in the game, maybe fighting for the last second of the fourth quarter. So I just want a competent quarterback, a dink-and-dunk quarterback, someone who doesn't necessarily need to be the future, but someone who can be more Alex Smith-like so that
well, remember,
we can actually
evaluate our
remember,
that's what Haskins was
power.
For two games before yesterday. Thank you. And everyone, you know, points out that he hadn't thrown any picks. You know, there have been three or four interceptions or so that could have been thrown. I always say that I don't necessarily count those as picks because those happen in every game all over the league, and interception totals would be really different. But that's what he had been through two games without turning the ball over, was very Alex Smithy. You know, 170 to 200 yards and a touchdown or two and no picks and no big plays in the passing game, not forcing anything but also not killing you. That's kind of what he had become. And it was funny, yesterday we were almost wishing he was back to that as he was trying to make some things happen. But it's not even that he threw three picks, it's that it should have been four as far as balls that landed in the hands of the Browns. And it could have easily been five or six, I think, that made the performance that much more problematic. Let's go to Mike in Herndon on line five. Mike, you're on Grant and Danny. What's up?
What's up, Mike?
Hey, guys. How's it going? Specifically around the play of Troy Apke, I'm highlighting the almost interception that he could have had where Odell broke it up. In my opinion, I felt like that was kind of a pivotal moment. I feel like we had the momentum going. And if you just, you know, if you saw the replay, the ball went straight through his hands into his face mask. Overall, I thought his play was decent for the most part. Also a little disappointed in Landon Collins as well. I feel like he could be a little bit better. He missed a few tackles. Just not really happy with our defensive back play, especially Ronald Darby. I mean, I don't think he's really living up to the expectations. I think Moreau is going well for the most part. I thought Fuller was okay, but I'm just not really happy with our secondary player right now.
Danny,
so
good
really
to see
Kendall
Fuller back. He made a couple of pass breakups, was covering a tight end, two straight third downs where he had real tight coverage. Well, I was happy to see him on the field. That meant something. Signed him for $10 million APY to get him in the mix in week three. Otherwise, though, in the secondary, they certainly didn't make big plays. I don't know how many chances they had. Apke is an example of one. I thought they'd have more against Mayfield.
So the limiting of the chances, I think this was as much about what Cleveland did or didn't do in this case as it was about their opportunities. I mean, listen, Jarvis Landry gets open against everybody. So does, you know, Odell Beckham and Austin Hooper. I still think it's pretty good, even though they don't really like to target him for whatever reason in that offense. But there were 16 completions against Washington's defense. I will sign up for that always, each and every time in this league that is easier to pass than it has ever been. I thought they handled themselves, you know, I would say even above average and pleasant. I didn't notice Fuller a ton, which, you know, you can take one of two ways in terms of the cornerback. Like, you always notice Josh Norman when he's trailing a receiver by 20 yards on his way to the end zone and he's pointing to somebody. You didn't see that an awful lot. So I thought they handled themselves pretty well. And to me, you can be disappointed in a group if it's supposed to be good. I think disappointment in Collins is fair and reasonable because of how much he gets paid. The rest of this group, though, I have a hard time being disappointed when my expectations were almost exactly what they are. Maybe that's a philosophical difference.
Yeah, I can't imagine watching that game, seeing them play the Browns' run game as well as they did in the first half.
Yeah.
And not being, you know, somewhat impressed that they were still in the mix in the fourth quarter the way Haskins was playing. I promise I'm not crying. I got something in my throat. It's not me getting emotional about how good the defense was.
The secondary. You could tell you do. By the way, I was talking to a buddy last night. We had some friends over in a distance way. I was just thinking about this while you were talking. He has gout, which I think is like it stinks for him.
So he's 90. You have a 90-year-old friend.
Yeah, but it's also super funny, like in a way, and like it sucks that he
not
like,
if you
hurts
have
him,
it.
But it's also
there's nothing funny about gout if you have it.
It's right. So it's not funny for him, but it's kind of funny for us that he's got this old man's like King's disease. Anyway, he had to give a speech once when he had gout in front of like 200 people at this assembled deal that was like the biggest thing of his year, and he had this flare up. So like people in the audience are like, man, he really is passionate about this topic. Like he really loves healthcare policy. He's up there going, and the FDA, you know, and he's just like tearing up and he's like wincing about it. That's what it reminded me of when you were talking.
The defensive performance was good. It wasn't good enough to bring me to tears. Now, the Eagles in week one, maybe, just maybe, I would have gotten emotional over those 8 sacks and then those 3 takeaways. Michael Phillips, Richmond Times Dispatch, joins us next on Grant.
Could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.